We're going to turn, please, in our hymn book this morning to our opening psalm of praise, the psalm number 23 in the page number 20 of your hymn book, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Not Want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." We'll stand as we sing this lovely old psalm, and can I just say, immediately after the singing of the psalm, if you'd remain standing, I want to read out a statement from our presbytery regarding the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and would ask you also to stand for a minute's silence as a mark of respect as we remember the passing of our Queen. So do remember that just immediately after we sing this psalm. Thank you. Ask the congregation to remain standing, please. It is with the deepest sadness on Thursday evening, the 8th of September 2022, that the ministers and ruling elders and members of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster learned of the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. As a church, we lament the passing of a monarch who has ruled for over 70 years with dignity, wisdom, and diligence. We thank God for her exemplary personal public conduct as a monarch and for the stability that she brought to our nation over the 7 decades of her illustrious reign. As a denomination, We express to the royal household our sincerest sympathy. Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2 commands the Christian church to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Therefore, we will be interceding for Her Majesty's family, praying that the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort will impart to their hearts the true consolation of the grace of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At our coronation service on June the 2nd, 1953, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland presented the new Queen with a copy of the Scriptures and said, "Our gracious Queen, to keep Your Majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book the most valuable thing that this world affords. It is still the Holy Bible that carries the infallible message of God for the royal family, our nation, and the entire Commonwealth. True comfort in life and in death is found in Christ Jesus alone. The gospel declares, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen." Ask the congregation to be seated, please. Thank you. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we gather, O God, before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come to Thee in and through the precious and worthy name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who loved us and the One who gave Himself for us. We do acknowledge, O God, to Thee, Thee today, our God, and beside Thee there is none other. We realize, O God, today that Thou art the Father of mercies. Thou art the God of all comfort. Thou art the God of eternal consolation and grace. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art one that can bind up the broken heart. Thou art one, O God, that can give the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that Thou art indeed our refuge and our strength and a very present help in every time of need. And, O God, we would bring before Thee very especially today our King, King Charles III, the Queen Consort. And we think of the royal family, the royal household, and the members of that wider family circle, especially today, as they mourn the passing of a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and one who served our nation so well for so many years. And Lord, as our nation would mourn at this time, we do pray, O God, that Thou will give comfort, and that Thou will give grace, that Thou will give strength. And Father, we pray that even in the passing of our Queen, that Thou would cause men and women, young people, boys and girls in our land and our nation, even to consider their latter end. We do pray for the royal family, be unto them all that they would need and require at this time. And be their helper, be their strength, we pray. And Lord, we do pray that even in that household and in that family circle at this time, there might be that turning unto Thee in faith and in salvation. Indeed, for those that in that household who may know Thee and profess faith in Thee, help them even to be a light at this time, O God, of loss and bereavement. O Lord, remember our nation for good. O God, we just pray that at this time, O God, that men and women would look to Thee. We realize that people change. We realize, O God, that monarchs change, that kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Yet, Lord, we realize that Thy kingdom knows no change. Thou art the one who has said, I am the Lord, I change not. And Lord, help people in our land and in our nation, and even, Lord, throughout our commonwealth at this time, to look to Thee, to rest upon Thee, and to look to Thine eternal word for guidance, for grace and strength and succor at this time. Even undertake in our land and in our nation, in all the arrangements at this time, we pray. And we pray, Lord, that grace and strength and wisdom will be given, Lord, by Thee at this time and all these circumstances we ask. Lord, just remember us for good here as a congregation. We do thank Thee, O God, for all who have been able to gather here today. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless every head bowed before Thee, every family and every household. Lord, we pray. Lord, meet their need, we ask. We thank Thee for every child of God in this meeting house today. We pray that Thou would bless Your people, that Thou would encourage the saints of God. And Lord, for any, Lord, that are cast down at this time, may they know what it is to be lifted up by Thy grace and by Thy power. For any, Lord, who might be walking afar off from Thee, may they know Thy restoring touch from Thyself. And Father, for any with us today not saved, Lord, speak to them. And even today, O God, make them wise unto salvation. We remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt minister to them by Thy grace and by Thy power, we ask. And Father, we pray for others in our congregation who have been bereaved in recent times. May they know much of Thy comfort, much of Thy goodness, and Thy grace and Thy love being their portion. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless Thy word to our children, to our young people. May they be taught of the Lord. May they be saved, O God, by Thy grace and power, early and young in life. And oh, that they might turn unto Thee and serve Thee in their day and generation. Do bless every outreach from our congregation, O God. The children's ministry, the youth ministry, the Lord, other outreaches, the online ministry as well. We commit all these things to Thee. We pray for Thy blessing and grace to be upon them, that Thou wilt use them for the publishing of Thy word, not only here, but further afield. Bless, O God, all our sister congregations today. Remember every minister and student and layman alike will preach Thy word. May they know Thy hand of blessing to be upon them, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of many today unto the Lord through the preaching of Thy word and Thy truth, we ask. We pray for our missionaries at home and abroad, that Thou wilt bless them and be with them and encourage them in Thyself, O God, we pray. And Father, O God, we think of the land of Ukraine, especially at this time, that Thou would bring peace to that land. Drive out the aggressor, we pray, and undertake for Thy people and Thy church there, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our new Prime Minister here in our own land and nation, that Thou would bless her with wisdom and guidance and grace that comes from Thee, and that she might rule in righteousness and in accordance with Thy word, and that in our government there might be that acknowledging unto Thee and that turning to Thee and to Thy word and to Thy truth in mercy and in grace, we pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask Thee, O God, that Thou wilt bless the outreach that, Lord, what has taken place yesterday down in Longford. We thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for every piece of literature given out and for the conversations that were had. And Father, we pray, O Lord, that even through that, souls would be made wise unto salvation. Bless us now, we pray, as we continue on before Thee. In the attitude of prayer, in the attitude of worship, have Thy way in every heart. Still our hearts before Thee. Take our minds off the things of time and sense. Fix our hearts and our minds upon the Lord. And Lord, have Thy way in all of our lives. Outpour Thy Spirit. Glorify Thy name and all that will be said and done. And O God, may we leave this meeting house today knowing that we've met with Thee and having heard the voice of the Lord. And give us grace to follow Thee and to follow Thy word and to trust Thee more and more. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, and giving Thee thanks. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to our second hymn of praise this morning, to hymn number 196. 196, the page 255, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to Thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide me till the storm of life is past. 196, we'll stand as we sing.
Water's warm.
have your Bible with you this morning, we'd ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of Genesis and to the chapter number 37 for our Bible reading today, to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 37, reading from verse 1 of the chapter, going down to the verse number 11. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Genesis 37 and the verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse number 11, praying that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our service this morning, we welcome all in the Lord's great name. Good to see all who've been able to gather, members of our congregation, visitors, and to those also who may be listening in online. We thank you for joining with us today. And our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you as a child of God. May you be strengthened and encouraged today in the ways of God. And if you know not Christ as Savior, we pray that even today you might come in faith and in repentance and taste and see that the Lord is good. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. We would encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then the evening gospel meeting at 7 p.m. We belong to minister God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. sees the recommencement of the ladies' fellowship meeting after the summer break. And that is open to all ladies. All are welcome to come and bring your friends with you. And our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, retired missionary from Kenya, will be long to speak and also give a short word of testimony at that meeting. So remember that, pray for it, and we trust as many as possible of the ladies of our congregation and friends will be able to join in that meeting. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer, every child of God. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Some of our Bethel Children's Crusade meetings recommence this week. Tuesday night, 6:30, the meetings recommence there at Tresna. And then on Friday night at 6:30 here in Bethel, our sister Gillian had intended to start back in Lisbelaw and McGuire's Bridge this week. But due to the passing of her Queen, the Orange Halls are now closed till after the Queen's funeral, but she will be resuming those as soon as possible. Do pray for the meetings as they start, and if anyone can help our sister in the meetings, do speak to her about that, and she'll be glad as much help as possible. Friday night, 8 o'clock, sees the restart as well of the Youth Fellowship meeting. Our brother, Mr. Ian Moore, will be speaking. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. All young people 11 years of age and over are most welcome to that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the 18th of September, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., the morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m., both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. Also next Lord's Day morning, at the morning service, we'll be having a service of thanksgiving for the life and reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Remember that, pray for that. There's many lessons for us to learn from our life and indeed from our passing. We want to share some of those with you next Lord's Day morning, that special service marking this sad occasion in our life and in our nation, yet giving thanks to God for the reign of our monarch over these 70 years. Lord's Day evening, the 25th of September at 7 p.m., we're having a special testimony meeting here in the church. Our brother, Mr. Alan Copeland, an elder from Rabullock Glass Church, will be long to testify of God's saving grace, how God's grace has changed his life for time and for eternity. So do remember that, make it known, and invite friends into that testimony meeting. As we mentioned last Lord's Day, if there's any ladies, if you can help with the supply of biscuits or tray bakes for the ploughing outreach stand next week down in Strad Valley, that would be deeply appreciated. If you just leave them in the kitchen by next weekend, that will be deeply appreciated. Do please pray for the Reverend Ray Kerskadden, his wife and family. They're planning to go, God willing, next year to take up the work in Uganda. They will be stepping down in due season from the work in Corrigarie. But pray for them as they make preparation to go there to labor in that full-time missionary capacity over there in Uganda, that God's blessing will be upon them, that God will provide and lead and guide and direct in the days that lie ahead. Also want to thank you for your prayers, the Consider Christ outreach yesterday down in Longford Town with a very good day, and the whole town was visited. Pray for the tracts, the literature, the conversations, and tomorrow night, God willing, we're having a gospel meeting in one of the hotels there in the town. Pray for that. That's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. and our brother, the Reverend Ray Kerskadden, will be preaching at that. And then just as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Evelyn Nesbitt, husband Norman, also Mr. George Gott, and also his wife Deanna and their families. Evelyn and George lost a cousin in the week that has gone by, and we share these families of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement. That is really all by way of necessary announcements. Returning again in our hymn book to hymn number 431. 431, Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. We don't take up an offering during the services, but there is the offering plates there at the rear, so do remember that as you leave. We'll stand as we sing this great old hymn, 431. Stand as we sing. Turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to Genesis chapter 37. And with God's Word open before us, let us unite our hearts in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering. Lord, as we turn now to Thy precious Word, to Thy holy truth, we pray that Thou wilt open up our hearts to Thy Word, to what God the Lord would say to us even this morning. Lord, bless Thy Word to every child of Thine. And bless Thy Word to the hearts of any with us today not saved. Others also may be listening in online unsaved. Speak to them that even through the entrance of Thy Word and of Thy truth today, that precious souls would be made wise unto salvation. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And grant, O God, that the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable, Lord, in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whose name we do pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture we want really to base our message upon this morning are the words of verse number 2 of Genesis chapter number 37. That verse says, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Now, whenever he was writing to Timothy in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And with such words, Paul was really showing Timothy how it is possible, yes, for a young person in particular to live for God in this ungodly world. And this is how it was with Joseph. Joseph's name is mentioned to us in Hebrews chapter 11 as a man of faith. Joseph, yes, was a young man who was saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, and he lived for God in an ungodly world and in evil times. And his name is mentioned here for us in Genesis chapter 37. And in verse 2 here, we're told that he was just 17 years of age. Prior to Genesis chapter 37, his name is mentioned briefly to us in four separate occasions. Genesis chapter 30 tells of his birth and his mother being Rachel. Indeed, he was to bring great delight to his mother and to his home. And this was indeed due to his godly testimony. And that reminds God's people how it is through a godly testimony that the saints of God, the believers in Christ, bring delight to others around them in their life. And twice over also we can say that Joseph's name was mentioned in Genesis chapter 33. And that chapter tells us how Jacob sought to protect Joseph from Esau. And again, that reminds God's people of the importance of protecting the blessings and safeguarding the blessings that the Lord has given to them. And Genesis 33 also tells of Joseph bowing down to his uncle Esau whenever he meets with Esau. And again, that reminds the Christian, God's people, how they are to show respect in dealing with others in their life day by day. And then in Genesis chapter number 35, he is mentioned with his brother Benjamin and also the death of his mother Rachel. Indeed, that would show to us how the life of the godly, their lives are not exempt from trouble and from trial. Yes, the Bible says regarding the Christian, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." And the Christian is no stranger to trouble, to trial, to sorrow, to heartbreak, and to the burdens and the cares of life. And here in Genesis chapter 37, we see how Joseph is depicted as a godly son, and his life is a worthy example for every Christian to, to study, and every Christian to follow. But as well as being an example of godliness in his life, there are also many wonderful pictures and portraits of the Savior himself and the life and indeed in the testimony of Joseph. As we would begin a study this morning in the life of this man, Joseph, I want us just to look today very briefly at what we can glean from the verse before us regarding his godly testimony as a young man. I want you to see, first of all, here how Joseph's godly testimony, it affected his speech, it impacted his speech. For look at what is said there in verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 37. It says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, though Joseph was the favorite son of his father Jacob, he was not permitted to be idle. We're told there that he was working with his brothers, tending to his father's flock, meeting the needs of the flock of his father. And as he works here with his brothers, he sees their evil deeds. And he speaks of their evil deeds unto his father. Notice what it said there at the end of verse 2. It says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil deeds. Now the Bible shows you and I that the life of Joseph's brothers, their lives were marked by murder, by immorality, by hatred, by envy, by slavery, and by lying. But the thing to note here in verse 2 is that Joseph, he tells the truth about his brother's sin. His speech was marked by honesty. His speech was marked by truthfulness. His speech was marked by integrity. It says at the end of verse 2, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And child of God, this reminds you and I also that in speaking of others, and in speaking of other things and other circumstances in life, we are to speak the truth. You think of what the ninth commandment says. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And as God's people, our words are to be true. Paul, writing to the Christian in the church at Ephesus, he said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. People of God, that is something we must remember as Christians. Yes, whenever you and I speak the truth, we follow the greatest example of all, the example of Christ. For the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He himself could say, I am the truth. Christ, he always spoke the truth. And when we speak the truth, we glorify God because God himself is a God of truth. In the book of Proverbs, the word of God says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. And when we speak the truth, we show forth the righteousness of God. We follow the example of Christ, and when we speak the truth, we will know the Lord's presence and blessing in our lives as Christians, as the people of God. Turn with me in your Bible over to Psalm number 15. Psalm number 15. And look at what you read there in the opening verses of Psalm number 15. Verse number 1 of the Psalm says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. The psalm begins with the words, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That speaks of the Lord's blessing and knowing the Lord's presence. Of course, the answer is given in the following verses. Why, when we speak the truth, we will know the Lord's presence and blessing in our own hearts and lives as the people of God. And that being the case, dear people of God, daily we need to pray as Christians that God would help us speak the truth, speak that which is honest, speak that which is true, speak that which is right. Daily we need to pray that God would keep our lips from guile and keep our lips from deceit. That is how David prayed. In Psalm 141 in the verse 3, it says there that he prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." And David was praying that God would guard his speech, his tongue, his lips day by day, that he might speak that which is true and right and glorify the Lord in his life and in his testimony. That's how it was with Joseph here, even a young man just of 17 years of age. He spoke the truth. He gave the truth regarding his brothers and their evil deeds to his father. He spoke the truth. He was honest about them as reports of their deeds to their father Jacob. It was A.W. Tozer who said, "Honesty is a very fragrant flower in the life of the Christian." How important that is. Yes, Joseph's godly testimony, it impacted, affected his speech. But something else here to note. We can say in the second place that Joseph's godly testimony, it affected his own attitude toward evil. Regarding his brother's evil deeds here, it says here in verse number 2, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." And that shows that he spoke out against the evil of his brothers. And in this we see that he did not hide his brother's actions. He did not hide his brother's sins or gloss over it, or if you like, sweep it under the carpet. In essence, he was speaking out against their evil deeds and their wrongdoings in the sight of God and the sight of others. And that shows us, yes, how God's people also must not be silent in speaking out against sin. You see, this is an imperative of God's people are to be the salt of the earth, of God's people are to be the light of the world. You remember what Paul said when he was writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He told God's people to speak out against the works of darkness in their day and generation. Again, in Isaiah 58, in the verse number 1, the Lord is speaking to his people. And he says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." And this is especially to be the work of the minister, the pastor, the church of Christ, to speak out against sin and ungodliness. This is something the Bible shows the people of God and the church of God to do. If you turn in your Bible over to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, you'll see this very clearly as Paul gives advice to Timothy. Timothy was a young Christian, a young elder, a young leader in the church at Ephesus. And Paul here writes to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6. Notice in particular what Paul says to Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer." And then notice in particular what Paul says in the next verse. He says to Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Here Paul was telling Timothy really to speak out and to warn against evil and sin and false religion in his day and generation. He says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good, in other words, a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren and sisters, can I say, this is what you and I are to do as Christians, as God's people. Yes, we are to warn against sin. We are to warn against evil. We are to warn against false religion. For these things, yes, they lead to terrible things. They lead to terrible consequences and repercussions in people's lives and indeed in society by and large. My, whenever there is danger on the road through ice or through flood, drivers, they need to be warned of the ice. They need to be warned of the flood to take care in their driving. And again, whenever a person is ill, the doctor needs to warn the person of that illness and the effects and the consequences of that illness. And likewise, believer, the Lord has called you and I to warn people about their sin, to warn people about false religion and its tragic outcome, its tragic circumstances and working out in their life. This is what we're called to do. The Lord says to his people, he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. We are to be a witness for Christ. We are to be a witness against sin. In Jude verse 3, it says there that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, we're to stand up for the truth of God's word and the truth of scriptures and the word of God. Believer, child of God, can I say it is by the Lord's help, it is by the Lord's grace, it is by the Lord's enablement that you and I can be a bold witness for Christ, a bold witness against sin, against evil in our day and generation, a bold witness against false religion. It's through the Lord's grace and strength that we can be enabled to do that in our life day by day. You turn in your Bible back to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26, and look at the testimony here of Paul. In verse number 22 of Acts chapter 26, he is before King Agrippa. Paul is now in the latter time of his life. He has served the Lord faithfully for many years. But he was faithful in speaking and witnessing for Christ. And notice the strength that he obtained for doing that work, where he obtained that strength. Verse 22 of Acts chapter 26, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, he says, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Where did Paul get the strength from? It wasn't in himself, it was from the Lord. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Child of God in the meeting house this morning, through the Lord's grace, through the Lord's help, through the Lord's power, you too can be enabled and strengthened day by day to witness for the Lord, to stand for the Lord, and to own the Lord, maintain the honor of his word and the honor of his truth, and live for the glory of his name in this ungodly world. Yes, we see here that Joseph's godly testimony, it affected his speech. It affected, yes, his attitude toward evil. Notice one final thought in connection with our text here this morning. You'll see that Joseph's godly testimony, it affected his own behavior. It had an impact upon how he lived himself. Here we see in Genesis chapter 37 and the verse 2, it tells, yes, of Joseph speaking out against the evil deeds of his brothers. But the thing to note in this is that the Bible shows us how Joseph's own life, his own behavior, was vastly different from that of his own brothers. You turn over to Genesis chapter 49 and you'll see this for yourself. Genesis chapter 49. And you go down to verse number 26 of the chapter. And here you have Jacob pronouncing, as it were, the blessings upon his family. Here he is dealing with Joseph. And notice carefully what he says about Joseph. In verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 49, he says, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Notice what the Bible says about Joseph. It says he was separate from his brethren. And his behavior as a young man, even just 17 years of age, and his behavior as a young Christian, Joseph was one who stood apart from his brothers. He was separate from his brothers. He did not get involved in their evil deeds or in their evil actions.
He did not, as it were, go with the flow. No, he stood alone for God. He stood apart from God. And this is what sets Joseph apart as a godly young man in the book of Genesis. He was separate from the deeds of his brothers. My, there's a wonderful lesson there for you and I as God's people in the meeting today. It is this: believer, in our daily life as God's children, we are to be different in our conduct, different in our walk, different in our manner of living from the ungodly. In our home life, in our workplace, in the community where we live, we are not to bow to peer pressure. No, our lives are to be separate from the ungodly and the ways of the ungodly. Remember what Paul said to the Christians in the church at Thessalonica. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The Christian is to abstain, turn away from that which is evil and wrong. Again, in the book of Genesis, it says there to God's people, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. No, the Christian is to be separate in his life from the ways of the ungodly. Turn with me, child of God, over to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Look at what is said there in Psalm number 1. And here you read of the blessed man. And who is the blessed man? Well, you see the answer to that question in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. It's set there before us. It says there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, Joseph had a choice to make as a young man. He could have walked in the ways of his brothers, but he said no. He did not walk in the behavior of his brothers and the way of his brothers. He was separate from his brethren. It says there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And one of the things you'll notice as you study the life of Joseph, he had trials, he had burdens, he had difficulties. But it speaks of the Lord prospering him, the Lord blessing him, the Lord's hand upon him for good, and him being a fruitful bough for God, bearing fruit even in the most difficult circumstances and places for God. Why? Because his life was separate from his brethren, separate from their evil ways and their ungodly deeds. And child of God, can I say this is God's will for your life and my life? This is God's standard for your life and my life. Our lives are to be different from the ungodly and from the spirit of this evil and ungodly world. And by God's grace, yes, Joseph, he lived such a life. That's the beauty of looking at the life of Joseph. You'll see the triumph of the grace of God shining out of his life in every circumstance and situation, even in the most testing and trying and tempting of times and circumstances. And likewise, child of God, God's grace has not changed. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And by God's grace, believer, you can live for God in your home life, in your workplace, in the community where you are, day by day. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You remember what the Apostle Paul said as he wrote to the church at Corinth. Remember who Paul was before he was saved. He was a persecutor. He was a blasphemer of Christ and the gospel. Yet he said to the church at Corinth, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul triumphed through the grace of God. And can I say, dear Christian, today, yes, the Lord has all the grace. And he's all the strength that you need to live for him. Yes, such a life may not be popular today, but I tell you this, Christian, such a life is right. Such a life is blessed. Such a life is used of God, because the Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. The hymn writer says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. O believer, by God's grace, may this be our testimony.
in this ungodly world. And if I'm speaking to one in the meeting today and you're not saved, oh, please understand, dear unsaved friend today in the meeting, that sin will ruin your life. Sin will wreck your life. It'll bring heartache and tears, not only in life, but sin will ruin your soul in eternity. Your sin condemns you to a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's the end of sin. Despite what man says, despite what the devil says, despite what the world says, despite what false religion says. Friend, there is only one remedy for your sin. And that remedy is found by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and in Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ can break the shackles, the fetters of sin in your life. He says, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. He can give you an abundant life. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can give you the assurance of a place and a home in heaven when you come to die and leave this world. And how did Christ procure this? How was it purchased? By Him coming into this world, by His incarnation, and by His going to the cross of Calvary, suffering and bleeding and dying for guilty, hell-deserving sinners upon the cross. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world, He have appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He is the one that gives victory over sin, over the devil, over the world. And by faith in Christ and in His precious blood for salvation, all your sins can be forgiven, blotted out by God. You can be sure of heaven, delivered from the wrath to come. Your life can be changed for the glory of God. That's how it was with Zacchaeus. Turning your Bible over to Luke chapter number 19. You look at what the Bible says there about Zacchaeus in Jericho, the tax collector, verses 5 and 6. It says, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. He received Christ to be a Savior. Look at the outcome in his life. Look at the change. Look at verse 8, verse 9. It says, and Zacchaeus sued and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. The Lord changed his life, changed the whole course of his life for time, indeed for eternity. And praise God, dear friend, when you are saved, you can depend upon the Lord, yes, for grace, to live for God's honor and glory, even to follow, as it were, in the footsteps of Joseph of old. Oh, if you're not saved, they come to Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Prove the Lord and prove His grace day by day in every time of need, in every circumstance of life. We're going to close our meeting by singing together the hymn number 500. The hymn number 500, take the world but give me Jesus. All its joys are but an aim, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. The hymn number 500, we'll stand as we sing. And as we sing, Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. Bless Thy word and bless Thy truth. Apply it to all our hearts, as Thou alone would see our particular need. Bless Thy people. Help us, Lord, we pray, even to follow in the testimony of Joseph. Help us, Lord, to bear that good testimony, Lord, for Thee, day by day in our life, that others would take note that we're different, that we belong to the Lord, that we're not, as it were, following after the ways of this world, but that we're following after Christ. For any in our gathering today, and Lord, they're not saved, do speak to them. Oh, may they see the awfulness of sin, and the awfulness it'll be for them if they die unsaved and go out into a lost eternity without hope and without God. And oh, that today they would come in faith and in repentance unto Christ, trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us journeying mercies. Bless us throughout this Thy day. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Bring us back again in Thy will this evening, we pray, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.